Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, the perfection of renunciation, text 13. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it appears that there is some contradiction. The soul is sometimes declared to be the doer, and sometimes it says that the soul is not doing anything. So, is he doing something, or is he not doing something? Whoever spoke the Bhagavad Gita is not really so sure, so he decided to say both things in case one of them is true. No, actually, the soul is doing something, but what he's doing is not material. Because the soul is on a different platform. If he was on the material platform, then he might be able to do something material. But because he's not the controller of the material nature, therefore all he can do is desire. But that desire is actually a very significant activity. That is what either liberates us or entangles us. The question is, what we're desiring. So what we're going to desire will depend upon what our knowledge is. For instance, probably, and I'm quite sure, none of us are just waiting for the class to end so we can go to McDonald's and have a hamburger. Anyone anxious to have a hamburger at McDonald's? I don't think so. But that's a possibility. But generally speaking, for the devotees, it doesn't even pass our mind. And even if it did, no one would take it seriously. But for a normal person, that thought will be enough to drive them 50 miles to go to the nearest McDonald's. On the other hand, if after this class there were some nice clubmans in Halava, that thought might pass through our minds to go and take some prasadam. So the thoughts or the desires arise within our mind. The question is how we take them. Do we desire, as Krishna says, kama kami, apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti yadvat tadva kama yam pravishanti sarve se shantim apnoti na kama kami. Because material desires are one of the possibilities to come through our mind. But it's not that because material desire comes through our mind, we have to immediately go, yes, sir, whatever you want, and immediately go and serve the material desire. Krishna gives the example that a big, big ocean, even though so many rivers enter into it, is never disturbed. So it's not that one can simply sit there and try to remain aloof from desires. After a while, we have to do something. We can't say, this is bad, that's bad, everything's bad. Then we'll wind up being bad. We have to know what's good. What desire to actually do that's actually positive. And so those are the desires that lead us to become conscious of Krishna. Because being conscious of Krishna, the ocean of Krishna consciousness, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said is the ocean of bliss, Anandam Buddhivardhanam, if we're actually aware of Krishna and his associates, their names, their forms, their qualities, their activities, if we're absorbed in such consciousness, then we'll be in an ocean of bliss. And even if some thought comes through our mind about gratifying the desires, it won't seem very significant. And therefore, it would be very unlikely to be driven to satisfy such an insignificant desire. Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Natibi Kolola Sankritito. Actually, that's not. Tyakva Deham Tyakva Purnama Shesha Mandalapati Shrenim Sada Tuchavat, insignificant. For the materialist who has no experience of Krishna consciousness, such desires are the only thing that's significant. But if one gets a higher taste, Prabhupada said, then the pale material desires become insignificant. Therefore, our main emphasis is try to understand how to cultivate the right desires and actually become attached to those desires, fulfill those desires. That's called devotional service. The background of devotional service is a sambandha that everything here is Krishna's property. And therefore, in the next verse, where it talks about adishtanam tata karta karanam cha pritag vidan vivites cha vitam preshta vividas cha pritag chesta, yeah, daivam chaivantra panchama. One of the five causes of activity is adishtanam, the place where we're performing the activity, namely this body. And then there is the senses, then there is the soul, then there's the super soul, then there's the activities brought about under the influence of false ego. So these are all factors, and we have to understand them properly. Otherwise, we think that when we're being impelled by some material desire, then we think that we have no alternative but to fulfill it. Rather than trying to take shelter of Krishna, trying to get a higher taste, and being undisturbed by such desires. In other words, if the material nature approaches us and say, you have to fulfill this desire, this will actually make you happy. Basic dream. Of course, even stronger than that is music. Generally, some devotees will abandon everything for music, especially certain kinds of music. In any case, these desires, if we become Krishna conscious, then gradually they won't seem as prominent. If we believe it's not possible to live without these things, that Krishna consciousness has only some limitation, that Krishna can only give us so much happiness, and therefore without these other kinds of material happiness, we can't really be happy. So such a conviction will keep one in the material world perpetually. If one is convinced that Krishna consciousness has a very limited realm of happiness, then Krishna will not disappoint one. In other words, if Krishna actually revealed how much happiness there is in Krishna consciousness, we'd automatically give up our material desires. But because we don't want to give up our material desires, therefore Krishna doesn't reveal how much happiness there is in Krishna consciousness and spoil our material existence. So one has to be willing to actually be happy, which for the conditioned soul is quite a endeavor. It's quite a... To give up one's misery takes a lot of knowledge and renunciation. Because material life is based on a dream, and we become attached to this dream since time immemorial. And somehow or another, Maya has convinced us that although, since time immemorial, it has never worked out the way we wanted it to, but this lifetime is better, because now we've been born in a very auspicious place, holy place, Ljubljana, where everyone is very advanced, they've solved all the problems of life, soon there won't be any old age, disease, and death here, and we can have our family life, it'll go on forever. And there's some religions say, well, even if you have to leave your body, simply you take your family with you to your next destination. And there you enjoy even more. And eventually, you get to become multi-marketed. You actually get to become a Brahma somewhere. You have all your family there, grandfather, grandmother, dog, cat, parakeet. Everyone's there with you. Maybe you have four heads, maybe you have two heads, whatever. But everyone's there and you're actually happy. You're in charge of the universe. And when you do a good job in the universe, they give you a couple of universes to take charge of. And it goes expanding forever. So these are all imaginations. It doesn't happen. Practically everything that goes on in the material world is imagination. Probably say they think they're conquering. So many nations have come. They've conquered some land. But the people who conquer, they don't stay there very long. They have to leave. Prabhupada said, Napoleon They have some statue, Napoleon. Napoleon thought he was in control of Europe at one time. But where is he now? The only thing left is a statue. And the only thing that happens to the statue is the birds, they come and pass stool on it. That's what's left in Napoleon. And for all we know, Napoleon may be one of those birds passing stool. So he thought he was in control, but actually the material nature, time is in control, and no one surpasses time. So it's all just an illusion that we're making any kind of advancement, or that we're controlling material nature, or that we control anything here. We're going to control our wife, our children, our car, our business. If we can control it, then we'd be able to stay here forever. But because material nature is controlling us, eventually we have to leave in a very short period of time. And the only thing we get is we carry the reactions for our desires, what we became attached to. Our activities are born out of our desires, and our desires are born out of our activities. So it's a cycle. When we desire something and fulfill it, then material nature fulfills it for us, and we get the reaction for that desire, and that activity that we're performing will produce another desire. So out of activities, desires are born, and out of desires, activities are born. And it just keeps on going on and on and on. And sometimes it results in one form of life, and sometimes in another form of life. But it's an ever-ending change of circumstances. And it's not driven by us, it's driven by our desires. The material nature makes the arrangements so that according to what we desire, we'll have what we deserve, our desires will be fulfilled. We become aware that this property, this material nature, belongs to Krishna, and we should consider what Krishna wants us to do with it, and then we won't have to become entangled in trying to fulfill material desires, and we fulfill Krishna's desires, then eventually we'll become Krishna conscious, and we won't be affected by material existence anymore, because our actual consciousness will be in the spiritual platform of awareness. And for one who doesn't want to serve Krishna, no matter how pious or impious they may be, they have to remain in the material world. Maybe they go up to the heavenly planets for some time and have heavenly desires, but after some time they have to come back to mundane, the other planetary systems, and have those desires. So if we don't find out what the real desire is, we're going to have to settle for other kinds of desires. Therefore, we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, to find out what Krishna wants us to do. And if we desire to do that, then our lives will become perfect. We don't have to become rich or famous. We don't have to become powerful. We don't have to become anything. We just have to become sincere servants of Krishna. And then our real life, spiritual life, will be successful. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
So this material world is real, just our perception of it is imagining.
Well, it's real in the sense that it exists, but not in the way we think it exists. Just like a mirage, to us is real, but it doesn't really exist. Or the forms that material nature take, for instance, is like a mirage. We think it's one thing, but actually it's just material nature manifesting itself in a certain way that we think is actually a form. This actually has some substance to it. But because it's constantly changing, we can't really say that it's, the form is real, because next moment it's a different form. And what form we have now is eternally it disappears eternally. So what is the reality about it? The energy is real. The form taking different forms, our conception of it is unreal. It's like watching a movie and believing that we become Tarzan or Jane. It's not real. We haven't become Tarzan or Jane, nor have we become this material body, nor have we have anything to do with the material nature or the material activities. But because we're believing like that, therefore we're desiring like that, therefore we're entangled in something which is ultimately just temporary. But because we're entangled in temporary material nature, we have to stay here eternally in different forms. So as I said, the energy is real, it's eternal, it's Krishna's energy, but our conception of what's going on here is unreal. Only when we take to devotional service can we understand things properly. Then our activities become real, because they're done to please Krishna. Then instead of acting under the influence of the external energy, we'll be acting under the influence of the internal energy. That internal energy is real, is eternal. Yeah.
But sometimes it's so strange for my mind.
Therefore, we should chant Hare Krishna and listen, so we can actually associate with Krishna. Otherwise, by mental speculation, we can't get very far. Or even philosophical speculation. It's nice to try to see things in relation to Krishna, but then we have to act as if Krishna is there by chanting and hearing with attention and devotion. Because unless we're actually associating with Krishna, with attention and devotion, is all on the mental platform, our conceptions of things. There has to be actually some feeling put into it, not just mental. Krishna doesn't reveal himself by mental speculation. He reveals himself due to our service attitude, loving service attitude. Yes.
From Vedas we know that Krishna is giving us what we want, what we desire. But I would say from my point of view, now the life that I'm living, I have a human form. And I learned that you can see in a two way your life, as a good one or as a bad thing. It can also happen to me an accident, but yet I can see it as a good thing. I'm not so stressed. I'm so hard to laugh against the thing that happened. From which mode of material, from material mode of material nature, is this feeling that I'm having? It's so funny. At the moment, I'm so satisfied. Satisfied in every point of view. So, what should be then a trigger for me to get much more involved in a Krishna conscious, in a way to practice the way Srila Prabhupada?
Associate with the devotees, chant Hare Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, worship the deities, serve the devotees, and try to make your life spiritual. And to associate with Krishna.
And if I'm thinking that everything is okay, it's
fine. Well, you'll find out soon enough it's not. Just wait around for some time.
The only thing that I can see, I can also step in shit and I'll say like, oh my God, it's a bliss.
Yeah, just wait around, Krishna. Don't worry.
From a mode of ignorance or from a mode of ignorance?
Yeah, it's
not a goodness.
No, it's not goodness. It's ignorance. Yeah, and Prabhupada said even the worm in stool is complacent. He thinks, my life is made. Fresh food, unlimited, my whole family's here, don't have to work, it's nice and warm, don't have to pay for any heat. So, everyone in the material, many living entities in the material world are complacent in their material existence, but not for long. No one survives here very long. Everything we're happy about will eventually be deteriorating and taken away from us. Yes?
Maharaj, do we ever get lost of lust?
Sure. We become Krishna conscious. We're actually absorbed in an ocean of pleasure, loving pleasure to Krishna. Then there won't be any such thing. Progress. And gradually we'll see that it's a possible reality. As we actually come closer to Krishna, then the coverings of material nature have vanished. And we can see things properly, we can feel things properly, we can do things properly. We become detached from the things that we become presently attached to, that we think are so wonderful. They become gradually less significant in our lives. All right, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Or Premanande.